Hallelujah. Would you open up your Bible real quick and turn to Philippians 4:19, and we're going to zero in on one scripture. And meanwhile, Peter will pass out the envelope. If you need an offering envelope, you just lift your hand. And remember the card thingy where you wrote your information, your email, and your home address and your phone number. Drop that in with an offering, unless you gave it to Miss Sherry at the door. I know a few of you did that as well. All right. So we're going to read a familiar scripture. It's in Philippians 4:19. And it tells us, "And my God will liberally supply, fill to the full, your every need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." And when you read the scriptures prior to this, let me start here and read to you real quick. Maybe starting at verse 11. I'm reading out of Amplified. "Not that I am implying that I was in any personal want, for I have learned how to be content, satisfied to the point where I'm not disturbed or disquieted in whatever state I am. I know how to be abased and live humbly in straitened circumstances. And I know also how to enjoy plenty and live in abundance. I have learned in any and all circumstances the secret of facing every situation, whether well-fed or going hungry, having a sufficiency and enough to spare, or going without and being in want. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me, and I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me, and I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. But it was right and commendable and noble of you to contribute for my needs and to share my difficulties with me. And you Philippians yourselves well know that in the early days of a gospel ministry when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me and opened up a debit, a credit account in giving and receiving except you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent me contributions for my needs, not only once but a second time. Not that I seek or am eager for your gift, but I do seek and I'm eager for the fruit which increases to your credit, the harvest of blessing that is accumulating to your account. But I have your full payment and more. I have everything I need and I am amply supplied. Now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent me, they are the fragrant odor of an offering and sacrifice which God welcomes and in which he delights." And then he says, "And my God will liberally supply, fill to the full your every need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." So when you look at that passage, what leads up to the statement that God will supply all your needs according to his riches, Paul is talking about the body of Christ meeting his needs. And when you bring in your tithes and offerings, you are meeting the needs of a body. And the Lord calls it his storehouse. So when it's your time, you have something, your time of need, then you have something to look back to. You can say, "Lord, I have been bringing to your house. And it's not like you owe me for it, but you have a right. You have a right in Christ Jesus because the Lord has made you rich." Just like being saved is a status. It's a position. You're righteous because you're saved. The very same way you're rich. I mean, it's a position. And it's not that you are trying to get rich or you're trying to figure out how to get riches. It's a position. It's a place where Christ has put you. And you need to view it this way. Otherwise, the enemy will tell you, "Well, look at you. You have so many needs." And he blames you and he accuses you. Like there's something wrong with you when you have needs. There's nothing wrong with you. Jesus had needs. He had needs for both, and his ministry had need when he had to feed the 5,000 people. I mean, he had to come up with stuff. And he wasn't poor and he wasn't in lack, but he faced needs in his ministry. So the very same way, do not let the enemy bash you and tell you that you are somehow not in faith, or faith is not working for you, or whatever, when you have needs. And the Lord is there to meet our needs. And I just wanted you to notice that connection, how blessed Paul was because the body was contributing to his needs. He said, I have no need. I have no insufficiency because you were such givers. And I know you are a giver. And the Lord loves a cheerful giver. So as you give today, I just want to leave you with this one thought. There's a supply for every need. There's a supply on this earth for every need we face. And sometimes you have to stand in faith and you have to go through seasons to where you're just, you know, speaking it and praising God for it, and the circumstances are all against you, but that does not mean that God does not meet your need. He will supply your every need. Because before he even created a human being on this earth, he made Adam and Eve, he put the supply down here. So it wasn't like, okay, he created man and a woman, oh, they need to eat something too. No, he put the supply down here first. And supply is here for us. And we need to use our faith and continue to use our faith to access that supply. But I just want you to be supply-minded. Not only that, you know, I have needs and God will supply my needs and my needs. No, God's got a supply and we need to learn to draw from it even more and more. He's got a supply for us. And don't feel bad when you have needs, because that's an opportunity for your faith. That's an opportunity for him to show that he's God who meets all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And just like Paul was so grateful, he said, you know, you sent me these gifts, not only when I was with you, but when he was in Thessalonica or somewhere far away with another church or brethren. You met my needs, and this church meets the needs of a people. And that's our heart. So I believe the Lord will honor us, and the Lord will supply our needs as well. So as you give, you just thank him for his supply for your needs. Because he's faithful and he's true and he will do it. Amen. Okay, you can pass on the offering baskets. And we'll just speak a blessing over it. Like somebody said, I read in a book and it was interesting. Just like you being an American, it's not something you have to try to be or try to become. You are an American because you were born here. I'm American now because I went through the whole process of getting naturalized and did all the things and gave a test, physical tests and blood tests and TB tests and language tests and all the things. Well, now I can say I'm American too. But you guys, you were all born here. You didn't have to do anything. Really, you were just born. Your parents lived here. You were born in one of the 50 states. You are an American. Well, the same way you're a child of God, the same way when you accepted Christ, you are made the righteousness in him. The same way it applies to your status, your position, being made rich in Christ Jesus. And it's all inclusive. It covers not only finances, but we know it covers our well-being. It covers our physical and natural needs, and first of all, our spiritual needs. But yeah, just like you as a parent, it matters to you that your kids are fed. It matters to you that your kids have clothes. It's not just, oh, I want Johnny to be saved and know 10 commandments or something. No, you want him to have the best. You worry when they become, not worry, but you think about things when they become teenagers. What do they wear? I want them to look good. It matters. Because you think what other kids think, and not that you're motivated by peer pressure, but it matters to you. You want them to look good and feel good and have good confidence and all these things what matter to you as a parent. So all our needs, they matter to God. And thankfully, he's made a supply, and his supply is abundant, and it's plenteous, and we just need to draw from it and thank him for it. Amen. Okay, thank you, brother. Just bring it up here, and I guess I can pray over it. Well, thank you, Lord. We just lift this before you. We thank you so much for heavenly supply. We thank you, Lord, you did not leave us without the supply concerning finances. We thank you, Father, that everything that pertains to our life and our needs, that you have taken care of it. When you died on the cross, you made us rich. And Father, you provided us everything what we need for daily living. So Father, we just thank you. We cast out any and all fear, any and all condemnation. We thank you that it doesn't come from you. We put our eyes on you again and we say, we believe, we trust, and we receive from you, and we use our faith, and we thank you, Father, that you supply all of our needs according to your riches in glory. Amen.
Well, I guess it's my turn now. Hallelujah. You know, I was listening yesterday to some of the speeches made there on bringing back honor to America. And I was very impressed by what I heard. And they said that our nation needs to return back to God. And we desperately need that now because... you know, I think as Bridget was talking about this morning, there's a lot of things going on that are happening in this world that I think you'd have to be completely naive to think that there's something that's not right. There's things that are happening all over the world that I believe are getting ready to usher us into one of the greatest awakenings this world has ever seen. And then after that, I believe Jesus will be coming back here very soon. So we're seeing things that are happening very rapidly, and I like what Mark was telling me this morning. Who was it, the daughter of Martin Luther King, the niece, Evita King? She said that she wished that it was her prayer that everyone would come into a saving knowledge or into a relationship with Jesus Christ. So... that everyone would be born again and everyone would turn back to God. So that is what we're seeing now is something that is needed in our nation, is for people to return back to the Lord. So there's things that are happening in the body of Christ and happening all over. And one of the things that the Lord has impressed upon me very strongly is that God's people need to know how to handle the storms that are coming. And I've been teaching over that over the last few weeks about handling things and how to handle things properly when that giant faces you. And how many have taken that to heart and said, I believe God and I serve God and I belong to God. You tried that and that works, right? You tried that and that works. And it does work because when you start saying that I belong to God and I believe God and I serve God, there's something that happens on the inside of you. When you speak that word and you speak that out loud, there's something that happens. And all week, you know, I prayed about, you know, what is it, Lord, that you want for your body? And last week I kind of overstepped my bounds and I said, I'm going to teach on the early and the latter rain. But guess what? The Lord doesn't want me to teach on that today. That is not the flow that he wants. So I'm not going to teach on that. I said I would, but he had other plans. So when I woke up this morning, I heard this one thing. My people have not proven that it works. My people have not proven that it works. And I'll give you an example of what I mean here. You know, my brothers and I, we like to hunt. And we have all of our gear. You know, I've got a lot of gear, and I've got, you know, just different things. But how many know if you have all this gear, even though, you know, the manufacturer or the other sportsman says that it works, but you never go out and try it out? How many know that you could fail miserably with it? Let me show you something here. I think I got a PowerPoint, a slide of what I'm talking about here. Here it is. This is one of the things that I have in my arsenal, is a blind. It's a blind where we set up out in the woods, and we had one similar to this, and Mike and I were sitting in it one day, and we were waiting for the deer to come along. Well, here come the deer, and I go, "Mike, here comes the deer." So we're using our muzzle loaders, and of course with a muzzle loader, you only got one shot. And so I shoot and I miss, of course. But you know, I lost my focus because I got all excited, and so I reached over and I said, Mike, shoot the thing. Mike goes, "I never test fired this before." He said, "I never sighted in." I said, "We came all the way out here and you never practiced with this?" He goes, "No, I haven't shot it yet." You know, we have, when you're really on it, when you get out there and you prove it and you work with it, they're supposed to put groupings of groupings of 2 inches, you know, at 100 yards. That's what we're supposed to be able to get with these particular models. And I was looking, but if you don't go out there and you don't prove it, there's no telling where it's going to go. So we just sat there and argued a little bit between each other. And we're in a little blind here, so I'm trying to reload my gun. And I miss again. And the deer are looking all around like, "Where did that come from? Where's that noise?" And then I tell Mike, I said, "Mike, you got your rangefinder?" Because I couldn't quite figure out how far they were. He goes, "No, I forgot it." So, yeah, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 36, you know, there's times where we have got to take and we have to prove and we have to work with God's word in order for it to work in our lives, right? You just can't come in and say, "Well, hallelujah, I saw that work for them and now it's going to work for me." When you really need the experience and you need the time to work with the Word of God. And a lot of people say, "Well, you know, I don't hear from God or I don't get the kind of results you get." Well, you know what? I've been working with the Word and I've been studying the Word and I've been meditating on the Word and I know God's ways. And I spend time with it. It's like anything else. You get something, you got to spend time with it to know how it really works. And you really got to know with your relationship with the Father, you got to spend time with Him to know His ways. And it's just not a time where, you know, you get in trouble and it's like, "Help me, God." And, you know, that's usually not going to work if you've never spent any time. And you've never taken the time. And in 1 Samuel 17, it says this. It says, let's see, it's in verse 36. No, I'm sorry, it's 38, starting in verse 38. It says, "And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it." He put on something that he wasn't familiar with. And I'm going to tell you something. You've got to get familiar with God's Word, and you've got to get familiar with the nature and character of God to know how things work. And he said, and David said unto Saul, "I cannot go with these. I can't go with these. For I have not proved them," and David put them off him. He took it off. Now, there's times where, well, there's all the time. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you some practical things of what I do. Of what I do. And I take the Word of God. And when God speaks a word to me, He'll speak something out of the Bible to me. And I'll take it. You know what He wants me to do with it? He wants me to prove it. He wants me to take it and use it in my life before I give it to you. So I can have the confidence when I stand up here and I can tell you, hey, you know what? This works. I can tell you when I went through the book of Acts in Acts chapter 27 and when Paul was shipwrecked and he said those three important things, I believe God and I serve God and I belong to God. I proved those. I went through with my own storm that came along and I proved them. And I found it to work. Now you're going to have to take the time and you're going to have to make the effort to do something. And that's what I believe the Holy Ghost is telling this body this morning. You just can't come in here Sunday after Sunday and just hear it without doing it. You just can't come in here Sunday after Sunday and expect different results every time without doing God's Word. So, I'm trying to tell you here, and what the Holy Ghost, I believe, is trying to tell you is this. He wants us to learn how to tap the power and not just lap it. And that's L-A-P, like run around it. He wants you to learn how to tap it. There's a power out there. There's a power. Come on. There's a resurrection power that God wants you to get a hold of. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in your mortal body, and it shall also quicken you. But I'm going to tell you, in order for it to quicken you, you're going to have to learn how to tap it. And not just lap around the block. Because there's a time coming now, and I believe this, that it is even upon us now, that you're going to have to learn how to tap the power of God, and you're going to have to learn how to walk by faith, because this world is crumbling all around us. And there's a new kingdom coming. There's a kingdom that was made without hands that's coming upon us. And it's a different kingdom, and that kingdom requires you to walk by faith and to know how to tap the power of God. So, we're going to go over this again. I believe God. I serve God, and I belong to God. And we're going to start proving. We're going to start proving and working with these things, because we just don't go out into the battle. You know, we went out into the hunt without proving what we had. And you know, one of the things, you know what David did here when he fought the giant? He proved a method. Well, maybe not a method, but he proved to himself that God was faithful. He went ahead and proved that God was faithful. Because when you listen to what he said, I killed the lion and I killed the bear. And now I'm going to kill this uncircumcised Philistine. How many of you would be confident? How many of you, when something comes along, that you're confident to clearly say and to boldly proclaim that Jesus is Lord and that I will get through this and He will put me on top and not on the bottom, that I'll be above and not beneath? How many of you can honestly declare that? With the confidence and with the faith that God is going to get me through this. I mean, here we saw a 16-year-old boy, a young man that God had chosen himself to be a leader. And he's chosen every one of us that is born again. He's chosen you. And he's saying, hey, look what he did. Look what my servant did. And he proved these things while he was out there tending those few sheep. He proved it. It wasn't his air conditioning system in his little house that went out, but there was a lion that was coming out to attack his sheep. There was a bear that was coming. And he didn't panic. He didn't call brother so-and-so and said, hey, there's this lion, what should I do with it? There's this bear, what should I do with it? I think it's going to eat me. I think it's going to eat my sheep. And then I think it's going to eat me. It's going to destroy my way of living. This thing's coming. It's going to destroy my way of living. But instead, he spent time with the Lord out there. He spent time with him, and he knew what to do because he had proven. He had proven. He didn't call anyone, but let me show you what he did. He cooperated with God. I said he cooperated with God, and this is what he said. He said this in verse 26. He said, and David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that kills this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? He made a confession, and you know what he did? He got on the right side of John 10:10. He got on the right side of John 10:10. He said, I believe God, and what is this thing out here? What's this thing? And you know, let me show you something. You know, when you don't prove, and you listen to the Word of God, and when you don't prove, and you want to see how it works, and you don't... Well, let me back up here. When you take the Word of God, and you just hear it, you know what that means, and you don't do it? There's no expectation for reward. Did you hear me? When you just hear the Word of God and you don't do it, there's no expectation for reward. Because look at what David said. There was an expectation for reward. There was an expectation for reward. Because he said, what shall I get for defeating this giant? The king's daughter and all the king's riches, or some of the king's riches, is what he said. See, when we went out hunting for that deer, you know, I don't know if there was really an expectation to really get one. You know, if there was an expectation to get the deer, we would have practiced. Right? I mean, if there's an expectation for reward, you would practice it. You would do it. But, you know, that may not be a good example because we have my brothers and I, we kind of have an unorthodox way of hunting. We just like to see how many times we can shoot at something. And the faster it runs, the better. So, but David, he had an expectation, and that's why he actually practiced the Word. So you got to take a look and examine yourself. Do I really have an expectation? I can sit here and I can stand here all day and say, I believe God, I believe God, and I believe God, and I believe God, and I believe God, but there's really no expectation if I don't do anything. Right? But he had an expectation, and he already knew the outcome of it. He already knew he was going to get victory over that giant. I'm going to have victory. You know, here lately, the Lord has just put in, I mentioned this before, just a warring spirit in me. I will not tolerate sickness or disease. I don't tolerate lack. And I don't know about you, but the more I get into this and the more I read about David and about this in 1 Samuel 17, the more excited I became. And I read it over and I read it over and I read it over and I spent time with the Lord. Do you realize that when I pray all week sometimes, I pray, and Lord, And I used to, when I first started out, I used to panic because I had no message to give. But you know, a lot of times the messages that he wants specifically for this body, he'll give to me right before church. And all of a sudden, he'll just speak it into me. But you know what I learned out of all this? There's an expectation that God will always come through. He'll always come through. And I'm going to tell you, you will not hear the voice of God if you don't spend time with Him and you don't spend time in the Word of God. And I don't know how much more I can emphasize to you. You're going to need this. You're going to need how to learn how to say, I believe God, I serve God, and I believe God. And you're going to have to learn how to turn from these things that people say where it doesn't affect you anymore. And it doesn't bother you. And it doesn't influence you to do something that you shouldn't be doing. Because when David's brother spoke to him and he said, here, what are you doing here with these few sheep, David? Come on, when people that you know and that supposedly are your relatives and supposedly are your friends and they say something that they shouldn't say, is it going to affect you? Or when you get that bad report, how much is it going to affect you? Or are you going to go back and say, you know what? I've prepared for this time. I am prepared for the battle for this. I have prepared because I've set my feet upon the rock. And I've taken the time. And I've taken the time in the Word of God. And I've taken the time with God. And no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. I don't wait till the storm gets on me, and then I try to stick the plywood up on the windows. By then it's too late. And I can anticipate every move that the enemy throws out there. You know why? Because the greater one is on the inside of me. And he's teaching me and he's showing me things to come. John 16:13, he says, he will show you things to come. And I anticipate, and I'm anticipating now the things that are coming upon this earth because he's showing us the future. He's showing us the future, and I'm anticipating this. So what? The call is out. Prepare yourselves. Prepare. I'm going to continue to cooperate with God. This is what it says in Mark 16:20. It says this, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. How many can honestly say that the Lord's working with you? Come on. How many can say that honestly? And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. There was a miracle that took place in 1 Samuel 17. He confirmed the word with signs following. Let me say it again. When David made the confession, what he was going to do, there was a miracle. There was the word of God. I believe God and I trust God and I serve God. And there was the word being confirmed with a sign following, and he beat the giant. I'm telling you how to have victory here. And he worked with them. And he worked with them. God worked with them. God is supposed to work and he wants to work with you. And he wants to confirm some things. But let me tell you where people miss it. Let me tell you, the biggest place where they miss it is they will hear something either in church or they will hear something in their spirit. They'll hear the word of God come up on the inside of them. And then they'll say, oh, that's nice. Oh, that's nice. And then just walk on. and go on and move on. But let me tell you what, when I hear God's word come up on the inside of me, you know what I do? I'll write it down. And one of the things that the Lord has blessed me with is a good memory to remember the scripture. The other stuff I have a problem with names and everything else. But I can remember the word of God. And I'll take that and I will just like, Lord, this is what you told me. What is it that you want me to know out of this, Lord? And do you realize, you know, when you give, and we're a very giving church, a lot of you give and everything, what are you expecting when you give? You expecting something, another check in the mail? What I expect more than anything is God to speak to me to give me wisdom. That's what I expect. Because that wisdom is what keeps me out of trouble. And that wisdom is what keeps me over on the good side of John 10:10. When you shall have life and have it more abundantly. So I'm telling you how the Holy Ghost works. And he'll speak to you. And I'll take that verse and I'll just talk to the Lord about it. Lord, you said you would do this and you would supply all my needs and that all grace would abound toward me. Lord, you told me this, that David took off Saul's armor because he didn't prove it. Now, what is the deeper meaning there behind that, Lord? You got something for me there with that. But you know what? There's so many voices, and I hear these voices. These people don't like me. They put me over here because they really don't like me. And they're listening to a stranger's voice. It's a stranger's voice because that voice is not of God. But I'll sit there and I'll take the word of God and I'll prove it. Lord, this is what you promised and this is what you said I can do. And I sit there and I prove it. You got to start cooperating with God in order for him to work with you. Now, if you've been cooperating with the wrong thing and with those other voices, I'm going to tell you what, you're going to get exactly that. Decide who you're going to cooperate with. Are you going to cooperate with the influence of that voice that's on the side of John 10:10 that says the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy? Or are you going to cooperate with the voice that's on the other side of John 10:10 where it says, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly? David, the Bible says, was a man after God's own heart. And if you read 1 Samuel 17, starting in verse 36 and 37, he went over God's faithfulness. He reminded himself. I said he went over God's faithfulness and he reminded himself what he did. And he goes over that. And he goes over that. This is what my father did. This is what my father did. Because my father's faithful. I told you a few weeks ago, cancer, when you hear that word, it scares a lot of people. But you know, that don't scare me. That don't scare me when I hear that word. When I hear lack or job loss, that doesn't scare me. That doesn't scare me. In fact, now I've gotten to the point where I want to go after something. I'm ready to go after something that's not of God and destroy it. But I learned how I can get God to work with me. And then he confirms that with signs and wonders. Let's see. Don't get confused as to what the signs and wonders really are. Sometimes it's just a simple word from God to do something. And he'll confirm that with the signs and wonders. We don't have to have 10 angels, 10 trumpets, a bass player, a drum set, in order to think that's how God is. That's what's going to happen. Now, let me go over this and sum this all up. Over the last few weeks, if you will go back and practice this over and over and over when something happens. I believe God, I serve God, I belong to God. And if you will go through there and you will prove that word, work with it, work with the Word of God, work with the Holy Ghost, he'll get you ready for anything. If he got him ready for a ship that was sinking, or if he got David ready to face a giant, do you think he can get you ready to believe for an air conditioner if you need it, or a new furnace, or whatever it is, or a new home, or a new car? Do you believe that also that he can get you ready to believe for the glory that he wants to demonstrate through his people? Do you think that he can get you ready to believe for the things that he's going to do in these end times and see multitudes of people come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior? Do you believe that? It is exciting. It is exciting, but quit listening to those other voices that are not of God. Stop it. I said stop it. Stop listening to those other voices that are not of God. Because he'll come in and he'll tell you, well, your whole family is about ready to dissolve. He'll come in and tell you that you're really not liked by anyone. So, victory. Victory. Jesus Christ always causes me to triumph. All the time. Not sometime, but all the time. I'm going to say this again. This isn't Burger King where you can have it your way. And you want the preacher to lay hands on you to make everything go away. I don't mind praying. But you know what? There's times where you won't be able to get a hold of me. There's times where you may not be able to get a hold of me. And at those times, I believe God. I belong to God. And I serve God. I hear from the Holy Ghost. Because he's showing me the future. Because when he shows you the future, he can show you how to straighten out a mess. Did you hear me? He can show you how to straighten out any mess. Victory, Mike always tells me this, victory always favors the prepared. Now, whether we will prepare ourselves for this next hunt is yet to be seen. But there's one thing I'm prepared for. And I know where my hope and trust is at, and that's in Jesus Christ. It's in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So take that. Take that in Acts 27, verses 17 through 25. Take that and read that, what Paul did. Take that and read what David did in 1 Samuel 17. And have the Holy Ghost speak to your heart about that. If you want victory, lays it out pretty simply there for you. Hallelujah. Start looking for what God wants. Start looking for what He wants to do, not what you want to do. Then He starts giving you wisdom. Starts pouring things into you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is proven if you'll take the time to read it and to spend time with the Father. Hallelujah. So I'm here going to do that this week. I'm going to do it. I'm going to make a declaration. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. We're going to do it. Kathy and I, we're going to do it. We do it. We actually do it. We do it throughout the week. That's good. Since we're the pastors, that's good. That's a good thing that we do it. Amen. So the Holy Ghost wants to do something right now. How many of you need prayer? How many of you need the power of agreement right now? I see those hands. How many believe that it says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them? The power of agreement. I like that. And I like to get answers to what I pray for. I just don't go through a religious experience and we pray, oh God. No, I like to get answers. And you know what? God likes to give us answers. And He likes results, right? He likes results. And I like results. Let me see. How, Lord, do you want me to do this? If you want agreement in prayer, come on up here. Just come on up here. Let's see here. Okay, we'll do this one at a time, all right? How's that? Father, I speak right now that you will touch them with a verse that will produce in their lives. You'll touch them with a word that will produce in their lives for whatever they're needing right now. In Jesus' name, that you'll speak to their inner man in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's agree with
that.
And one of the things we're going to agree with, see, the word has got to come, and the word will produce. So God is going to give you a word from the Bible, and that is going to produce in your life what you want to see. Okay? That's what He wants to do. He wants you to hear that from Him. Instead of me telling it to you, it's time now to hear and to operate. Whenever I need something, let me tell you something. Whenever I need something, you've got to have the Word of God to back it up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You've got to have the Word of God to back it up. So what I do is I'll wait. Lord, I need this. You know I need this. And I'll wait for that Word to come because it's the Word that produces. In Luke chapter 8, it says that the Word is the seed. So you've got to have that seed planted into your heart, and then that's what's going to make the production. That's what's going to bear. So you take that scripture verse with whatever you're looking for, and it's going to bear fruit in your life. But the only way you get that is by spending time with it. The only way you get that is by spending time. And you're listening to the Holy Ghost, and you're focused on Him. You're not focused on what everyone else is telling you. You're not focused on those other voices. Well, the voice will get you in trouble. Learn the voice of your shepherd. Mm-hmm. And he'll speak the word to you. Because that's what produces in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Is the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Ghost comes in and anoints that and it quickens that to you. And then there it goes. You've got that. You've got what is the Bible says, you've got first the blade, and then you have the whole plant, and then the fruit. Okay? That's how that works. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just come into agreement right now with Joel and Mary. We come into power of agreement, Lord, that you'll speak a very specific word to them, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for that. I praise you for that, Father, and that word will produce because it is being sown in good ground.
Their hearts are good. Their heart is good ground. Thank you, Father. It is fertile ground, and it'll produce the 30, 60, and 100-fold return. That need for what you have will produce the 30 and 60, 100-fold. Every one of you in here, right standing up here. Father, you give them your word. You give them your word, your promise, Father. And you're speaking that into their hearts right now. Receive it now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I release the anointing right now in the name of Jesus. I release that spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation, and the knowledge of you, Father, that they will get that word from you, Father, and they will walk with that all week this week, and they will know beyond a shadow of a doubt you spoke that to them, and they will wait and see and watch that fruit of that word bear in their lives, and it will produce what they need, and it will produce what your kingdom needs, Father. It will produce for the kingdom, and they are kingdom people. Thank you, Father. Kingdom people get kingdom results. Thank you, Lord. They're taking a principle of the kingdom. Thank you, Father. It's being sown into their hearts. It has been sown into their hearts. Receive it now. I release it now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Bless your people. Bless them. No sickness, no disease. No plague comes near their homes, their dwellings, in Jesus' name. Only goodness and mercy follows them all the days of their life in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. I declare it over them. I declare it over them. I declare it in Jesus' name. I declare it in the name of Jesus. I declare it in Jesus' name. I declare it in the name of Jesus. I declare it in Jesus' name. I declare it in the name of Jesus. I declare it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to
God.
Thank you, Father.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Now, look at me here. God has empowered you. You've got to take this and walk by faith. He has empowered you now to prosper in whatever that you needed when you came up here. He causes you to prosper. Listen, He empowered you, and you got to walk out of here. You got to walk and believe it by faith that I received when I came up here. He empowered you. I believe that He empowered you with the Word of God. And when the Word of God comes on the inside of you, the Spirit of God comes and the anointing hits it. And then you get your result.
Amen.
Come on. Come on, He empowered you. Don't leave here and say, I didn't get anything. He empowered you with the Word of God. Hallelujah. You've been empowered. Say that. I've been empowered.
I've been empowered.
You've been empowered. When we went and we got the baptism in the Holy Ghost, it said in Acts 1:8 that we got power from on high. Now walk in that power.
Yeah.
They love
it.
Because it causes you to triumph.
Yeah.
It causes you to triumph over all, every circumstance. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We agreed and it's done. I declared it's done because by the Word of God it's done. We agreed. Hallelujah. We agreed. Hallelujah.
Can I just share the red letters with? I'm so excited.
Yep.
At the convention, Kenneth Copeland's phrase, his mantra sort of was, red letters win. So I've been saying that, red letters win. The Bible, the red letters, Jesus spoke, so red letters win.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, you all got to start, you know, God's people need to start seeing themselves as winners and not losers. You know, you're a winner. You have victory. You've been empowered. Start expecting to hear from the Holy Ghost.
The Lord's been telling me exactly what you said about watching the words that come into mind. Because I've had a lot of, like, the devil's, if you're no good at lying. But now I know they're lying.
You know what? I feel like a bulldozer at times. I just want to run this stuff over that's not of God. You know, I don't even, I'm going to be honest with you. I do not even have any more of those thoughts. You know, that used to be those thoughts of well, you're no good, you can't do this anymore. That was years and years and years ago. That don't even cross my mind because you know what? I don't think the devil even tries to even tempt me with that anymore. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. And I'll tell you what, God's people need to arise. Arise and stand up. Don't let this stuff run you over anymore. Don't let lack run you over anymore. Don't let broken relationships run you over anymore. Don't be dominated by those things.
You know, Mary, and anyone else that deals with that, here's what I used to do when he would get really frustrated with his work years ago. I told the devil, you're going to wish you'd never messed with him. You know, and that's what you need to do. Every time a thought or a word, something that comes against you, you just need to stand there and go, you know what? You're going to wish you never messed with me. Because God on the inside of you is rising up and saying, you're going, uh-uh. Amen? Amen. So don't let the devil. Don't let him do that. He's going to wish he'd never messed with you, Deborah. Amen? Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, you're dismissed now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.